This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Valley Football First and Goal, the official podcast of the Missouri Valley Football Conference on the lineupmedia.fm network. Now, your host, Kelly Burke.
Behind the mic this week with the voice of the Western Illinois University Leatherneck, Scott Kornberg. Scott, welcome to the show. Thank you. I know it's a hectic time of year for you, so thank you for taking the time to join me.
Well, it's an honor to be on with you, Kelly, so thanks so much for asking me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, a lot of people obviously know you as the voice of Western Illinois, but what they don't realize is that you're also the voice of the Myrtle Beach Pelicans, which is a minor league team for the Chicago Cubs organization. So, you know, first of all, what state are you in right now? And what is the juggling act like right now at this point of the season?
Well, I'm actually in South Carolina, but the last few days have been kind of hectic. So on Wednesday, after our baseball game, we played the Lynchburg Hillcats at home. They're a team in Virginia, Cleveland Indians affiliate. I drove after our game to Charlotte, flew out of Charlotte the next morning to Chicago, then drove down from Chicago to Charleston, Illinois to call the Western and Eastern game on Thursday. After that, drove back to Chicago, and then the next day I was able to spend some time at Wrigley Field working in the Cubs organization, which was awesome. And then after that, I flew back to Charlotte at like 1:30 or 2 a.m. My tire popped in the middle of the highway, so I had to... Yeah, it was kind of a crazy day. The next morning, I got all that taken care of, drove up to Virginia to meet the Pelicans again, finished the regular season yesterday, and then I drove back to South Carolina last night, and here we are. So we start the playoffs tomorrow in South Carolina, thankfully, and we'll go back to Virginia on Thursday.
You are originally from New Jersey. So who are some of your early childhood influences in broadcasting, and was there a seminal moment that you decided this is what I want to do for a living?
Well, really early, I grew up a New York Mets fan. It's been a blessing and a curse. And so I always grew up listening to Gary Cohen and Howie Rose on the radio. Probably my earliest memory of like really listening to sports, apparently my parents used to say I would imitate the announcers when I was like a baby. Obviously, I don't really remember that. When I was, I think, either 7 or 8, the Mets were playing in the playoffs against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and I was really pumped up to watch the game on TV. You know, being a little kid and having your team make the playoffs, they really weren't very good when I was growing up for the most part. But then I got in trouble. I think I insulted my sister or something stupid like that. I have a younger sister. And so I got sent to my room, and I wasn't supposed to be listening to the game, but I turned on the game on my alarm clock, and the Mets hit a walk-off home run. And I just remember the power of the crowd, and that was, it was like so cool. People going crazy. Gary Cohen had the call, and it was like just super exciting moment for me in my early life. And I don't know, I kind of got hooked on listening, especially to baseball on the radio. My favorite team, the Mets, growing up, and that's really probably my biggest influence. My favorite broadcaster, if people care, is Vince Scully. I mean, I think he's the best. But growing up in New York and New Jersey, I really couldn't listen to him at all until MLB at Bat App came out a few years ago. I remember the first time listening to him, I was actually home from college on summer break, and the Dodgers were on MLB Network. We had just gotten MLB Network, and so I was like, I want to see what this Vince Scully guy is all about. And so I turned on the game, and I was like, he's probably not going to be very good. It was in commercial. They come back, and they showed a full moon, and he didn't say anything for like a few seconds. And then all of a sudden, he goes, isn't it amazing to put a man up there? And that was all I needed to hear, and I was hooked after that. So those are probably my biggest influences. Growing up with those Mets broadcasters, they obviously have a very, very rich tradition, and I've kind of adapted listening to different people. And to me, especially with this being his last year, Vince Scully is the best of the best of the best, and the best there ever will be after he's gone.
You know, you're in your third year as the voice of the Leathernecks. You're 25 years old now, but you're one of the youngest broadcasters in the country, really, to serve as both a lead announcer for a Division I school and a minor league team. And so I wonder, how do you view that role and that responsibility? And, you know, do you put extra pressure on yourself to prove yourself?
No, I just had to kind of be me. You can't really put extra pressure on yourself. It's a difficult job, but and if you were to do that, you'd maybe force some things in the moment. I just had to be myself whenever I'm on the air. I know that I have pretty crazy preparation techniques that I study, you know, quite frequently and probably think more than anybody else. And so I think that kind of just puts me, you know, where I'm at. I can't really think about that stuff, how young I am. I know a lot of people, when I go to games, especially Western Illinois, and we'll travel around, I guess I look a little bit young, that they think I'm still a student. And that's a nice compliment to get. Yeah. Most of the time, the guys in the minor leagues are pretty young, so people understand where I'm coming from there. But yeah, I just had to be myself on the air and off the air and just make sure that, you know, I prepared enough for each broadcast that I feel confident going in.
So speaking of the preparation that you speak of, you know, take me through a typical week. Like, for example, this week, you know, Western's getting ready to play NAU. What's the typical process you go to leading up to the game?
Well, this week is a little crazy because we're also in the playoffs for baseball. But for football, I probably prepare these charts. I actually have my backpack here. I could probably show you for those who are watching on video. But I prepare these charts. Essentially, it has the depth chart of of Western Illinois and the team that we're playing. And so I pretty much go through and I'll Google everybody and see if I can find any kind of interesting stories. I always have this philosophy that people like to hear about people. And so I'll kind of Google everybody and see, wow, is this, for example, Western Illinois is a defensive lineman who is an organ donor and he donated something last year through a program at the school. So it was really, really interesting kind of personal story that I think people are interested in hearing about, more so than just basic numbers of how many tackles he had last year. He had 7 tackles, but and that's a really, really cool human interest story. So I always like to try to find those stuff. For example, I think a couple years ago, one of Western's opponents was a defensive lineman who started off his own like cancer charity foundation because his mom had cancer and it was a way to help her fight it. I thought that was really, really neat to bring up during the broadcast, but I'll go through the whole depth chart. I essentially create use a manila folder, and I color code everything. It's got all the numbers, height, weight, where they're from, where they went to high school, if they transferred. I have stats on there. I have, you know, any kind of human interest stuff, and then I'll use the front and the back for just basic team stuff. And that's just kind of how I go through. It takes a really long time. It takes about 30 hours or so to do that, but I really probably only use about 10 to 15% of it, but I'd rather have it there just in case. So that's kind of what I do to prepare for football. I use kind of a similar thing for basketball. For baseball, I use, because the rosters can always change literally every single day and we play 140 games. So I don't use a manila folder because I would have to change that every single day and just don't have the time. One of the guys I know who I was able to network with in the major leagues, he said a lot of people use this program called Microsoft OneNote, and it's actually really, really cool. You could type in it. You could drag in images. So I have every single team, like a different kind of OneNote folder, per se, organized by pitchers, players, and coaches. And I have, again, I'm really big on telling stories, and baseball really gives you that opportunity because it's much slower paced than especially basketball and, to an extent, football. And so I just have that stuff in there that I can refer to. If, for example, Lynchburg has a really good third base, or Salem has a really good third baseman, Rafael Devers. And a story I'll probably tell at some point during this next series when we play them in the playoffs is about when he was growing up, he used to have a horse that had one really bad leg and his mom didn't want him to ride the horse. And so he would get up really early at like 4:35 in the morning every day before his mom got up. So he would ride the horse to where he'd be going to play baseball every single day. He'd play there until like 6-7 o'clock at night, ride the horse back home. He would get in trouble. But he never got hurt riding the horse. So I think that's kind of a neat story. I kind of have stuff from everybody in there. Especially I like to talk about the visitors too. You know, I think that they are neat for our listeners to find out about. Obviously, I'm the Pelicans and the Leathernecks broadcaster, so those guys take priority.
Western has a new football coach this year in Charlie Fisher. And so what are your early impressions of him and how the team is adjusting to his coaching style?
Well, I'm a huge Charlie Fisher fan. Part of the things we bothered over, he's a huge baseball fan. And so last week when I was actually in Illinois, the next day I went, I'm fortunate to work in the Cubs organization, very lucky. And I was able to, while I was waiting for a flight, go to Wrigley Field, and they were playing the San Francisco Giants. And I guess he had found out about that through our SID. And he was really pumped about that. He's a huge Giants fan. So one of the things we bonded over is baseball. But he is, Coach Bob Nielsen is great. He was a remarkable person to work with. He's a tremendous coach. And South Dakota has themselves a really heck of a football coach. But he was a really, really different guy than Coach Fisher. Coach Nielsen was like all buttoned down all the time, very, very serious. And Coach Fisher is extremely personable, very, very warm guy. And so he's really, not just on me, I'm not really all that important of a person, but on the Macomb community, which is the most important part. I mean, he has really rubbed a lot of people the right way because he's so warm and because he's willing to talk to people and go out of his way to make things work in the community and to really make sure that there is a positive presence of mind about the Western Illinois football program. And I think that's made a huge impression on myself and on everybody else in the community so far.
Yeah, that's especially important since he's in his first year, you know, to make that mark on people. You know, the Leathernecks returned to the playoffs last year. They cruised in their opener last week over Eastern Illinois, and I know they have some key skill guys back, and obviously you guys are getting ready to face Northern Arizona University this weekend. And so handicap the season for us a little bit and whether you think this team can get back to the postseason.
Well, that's going to be tough. I mean, the Missouri Valley Football Conference is so good. But you know what? I mean, this team also, I think, is almost overlooked. They have a ton of talent coming back. I mean, they talk about returning starters. There's obviously a ton of those guys coming back, 18. But there's so many guys who aren't technically a starter who play significant roles on this team. And so I think that people think about the coaching change. And obviously there's concerns with every coaching change. And I think one of the most interesting things to me is that they're starting a new quarterback this year for the most part. Trenton Norvell was really their guy the last 3 years, and he was a really pretty high recruit. Went to Cincinnati, which is a Big East school. And with Charlie Fisher bringing in a new offense, they just felt that Sean McGuire, who started the last four games of last season because really only Norvell was hurt, and he made a good impression then, they're only starting him because he felt that he transitioned better to the new offense. And I think that says a lot about the new coaching staff, is that they're not afraid to take chances on younger players who they think fit their scheme better. And to Trenton's credit, he has really taken that, you know, the backup role really, really well. He has not complained. He has not griped. And that's the thing about this team. They have really, because they've got so many guys coming back, and because I think even now they're still pretty young, is they just have really good chemistry together. They've worked together most of the last few years, especially on the defensive side, where you've got your entire back seven that had to play as freshmen and sophomores, now essentially sophomores, juniors, some of them are seniors, I think is a lot better than people realize. You've got some nice talent that's going to be new on the defensive line there that they showed some really nice things against Eastern Illinois. And then the offense, which is new, they ran a spread hurry-up offense under Coach Nielsen. Under Coach Fisher, it's a very, very power-esque offense. But I think the most telling thing is they're not asking Sean McGuire to go out there and throw for 350 yards a game. They're going to trust their offensive line to open up holes for their running backs. And Steve McShane ran for over 200 yards in week one against Eastern. And that's a big thing because we were concerned about, hey, this offensive line was recruited to be a zone-blocking offensive line. How are they going to transition to being a power-blocking scheme? And to have a guy in his first career start pretty much go over 200 yards was a huge question answered against a pretty good Eastern Illinois defense. And so, you know, I think, I don't know if they're going to win the league, but I think that they definitely are a threat, and they are ranked in the top 20 to be a team that makes the postseason again and maybe wins a game or two, and we'll see what happens from there.
What's been the highlight so far of your young career?
Well, that's a tough question. For me, I feel so lucky to be where I'm at, because I don't have to be in Western Illinois. They treat me incredibly, and to be with the Pelicans and the Chicago Cubs organization is just so cool, especially this year with the way the Cubs are and the way that they really treat us as well. And so I think that to be able to have these jobs and to see so many talented players and really to that extent coaches and managers and to be able to be around those guys every single day, and they're all chasing a really high dream of being in the major leagues, which is extremely difficult to be. to be in the NFL or the NBA. And to see those guys work on their craft every single day and get better and better and better, and then to be able to talk to those guys and figure out what they're working on and what they've overcome is a little bit overwhelming. And I think that's just the highlight, just being there every single day and getting to watch everybody. I think it's just so cool because you develop these relationships with them. You end up rooting for everybody for the most part. And even though it's impossible for everybody to make that highest level, to be able to see how much work and time and effort they put into it, I think it's just so cool. And you really appreciate the guys at the highest levels who are there, because it makes you realize just how good they are, because the players here at FCS football and smaller level Division I basketball and Class A advanced baseball, which is still a pretty high level in the minor leagues, I mean, they're so good. And most of them are never going to see the top. And that's kind of amazing to me, just to be able to see how good these guys really are.
You know, I think versatile is maybe the best way to describe you. Besides calling, you know, the big three sports in the past, you've called soccer, you've called field hockey, you've called softball. What is your favorite? And then what is a sport that you haven't called that you would like to try at some point?
My favorite sport is baseball. I mean, I grew up a huge baseball fan. I love the rhythms of baseball. I love the fact that it's there for you literally every single day in the summer. And then when the weather gets cold and it seems like you need it the most, it goes just like that. And I think that, to me, baseball is kind of like life. Like sometimes you wake up in the morning and you go to the grocery store, you go to work, and there's every so often a crazy thing that happens. Sometimes it's really, really good. Like there's a great deal at the grocery store. You just happen to come across somebody and you end up meeting somebody really, really exciting, and you end up going on a date or whatever it is. Or sometimes it's really bad, like you pop your tire, but I mean, that's kind of like baseball to me. Like sometimes you get, you know, a walk-off home run. Also, sometimes you got to sit through 3 mid-inning pitching changes or something like that. So I think that's the great thing about baseball, or sometimes you're the team that gets walked off on, is that every so often, what makes the sport great is that, you know, you sit through those crazy pitching change innings, and you sit in line, you know, going through the drive-thru or whatever, and it takes forever. But what makes baseball great is those crazy moments, and they just kind of pop out of nowhere. So I just love the sport for that. I do love basketball, too. I love the rhythm of basketball and the pace of basketball and how you can play so many different ways to get to your goal. I mean, there's teams that play fast. There's teams that play slow and small and big and whatnot, and different kinds of offenses and defenses. I really like that about basketball. And, of course, football, the strategy behind that, is really, really exciting, and it's crazy how much goes into that. But baseball to me is number one, and I do like basketball probably second, and then football third. And I guess the sport I have not called that I would like to, and I don't know, maybe I'm saying this now, but I would love to try to call hockey, but it is so hard. I mean, I think basketball is fast-paced. Hockey is so fast-paced. It's free-flowing substitutions. I think it would be, I think it would help my skill set and my versatility. But I think that one day I would like to try it. I'm not a huge hockey fan, but I think it would be a pretty fun sport to call at the same time, albeit very difficult.
I would agree with you, though. I think that is by far the most difficult to call because of the pace of it. So, you know, I read that you have a 2% rule. And so if you could explain what that is and where it came from.
The Extra 2% is a book that I read. By Jonah Carey. It was really interesting. It was about the Tampa Bay Rays. And if you think about the Rays, and they play in the American League East with the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees, and to an extent, for this example, the Toronto Blue Jays and Baltimore Orioles, all those teams can spend way more money on players and on essentially player development and every sort of resource than the Tampa Bay Rays. But the Rays have been one of the most successful teams in baseball, and it's because of this philosophy, and this whole book explained it, was the fact that the Rays feel that if they are 2% better in drafting and 2% better in developing their players and 2% better in coaching at the major league level and 2% better in scouting and so on and so forth, that you add all those 2% together, that allows them to compete with the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays and the Orioles, teams that spend significantly more money than they do. And I was like, that's actually pretty smart. And the people who developed that philosophy worked on Wall Street. I think that one of the really cool things about the Rays is they have people they hire in really the business domain into baseball, which is really cool. It's very, very different than how baseball was, and they've kind of set a trend in that regard. So I figure if I can do things 2% better than other people, be it preparing for games, describing games, telling stories, looking up players' backgrounds, even for something as simple as an interview, that could really help me get better and better, even if it's just simple by 2% every single day. And to kind of expand on that, working in the Cubs organization now, Joe Maddon, their manager, was part of the Rays for a long time, and so he developed that 2% philosophy. Now with the Cubs, it's become a little bit more famous because they're the Cubs, but he's got all these like crazy sayings. My favorite one, and I love this, is just do simple better. You don't have to be extravagant, and if you just do the simple things better, like for me, I am from New York and New Jersey, I talk very fast. When I get on the air, I have to make sure I slow myself down, and that's something really simple to do. And that's like, if I just do the simple things better, in addition to trying to do the extra 2%, I think that's a, you know, kind of like a little crazy philosophy I have of trying to get better and better every single day.
You know, if you could call any sporting event anywhere with any person as your broadcast partner, what would it be? Where would it be and who would it be?
Ooh, that's a tough question. As a baseball fan, I do... Prime probably would say, you know, World Series Game 7. It would be really, really cool to be at Wrigley Field for something like that. So, you know, that, I mean, even though I didn't grow up a Cubs fan, working in the Cubs organization and understanding that how great that fan base is and how cool that ballpark is to be able to, and essentially the history of the Cubs as well, to be able to call a World Series Game 7 would be something that would be a dream come true. Now, obviously, I hope the Cubs win the World Series this year, so maybe maybe Len Casper and Pat Hughes get that opportunity, and for those guys who have been tremendous to work with, dreams come true for them and for the people of the Cubs organization. You know, one thing that I always have really loved would be, and this is weird because I just told you football is my third favorite sport to call. I would probably say World Series Game 7 just because I love baseball, but it would be really, really neat to call the AFC Championship game in Buffalo, New York for the Buffalo Bills, because I think they have the best fans in sports. I mean, those people didn't know if their team would leave them for year after year after year after year after year until finally they got new ownership this year. And they normally don't really have all that good of teams, and yet they always stick by their team so much. I have a lot of family from Buffalo. My mom is a huge Bills fan. She's from Niagara Falls, so there's a little bit of personal part of that as well. I think if they ever won the Super Bowl, and to get to that Super Bowl, you need to go to the AFC Championship game, and you have that home game where you have the crowd behind you, and who knows what the weather could be like in the wintertime in Orchard Park in Western New York. It could be crazy, which would only add to the fun. So to be able to call an AFC Championship game would be really, really cool as well. And there's so many great analysts, but I guess to bring it full circle, the guy I'd love to call the game with would be Bill Raftery, who does stuff for CBS. He's so passionate about basketball, and he's got so many funny phrases. I think I would love to be able to work with him because I think it'd just be just a really fun experience.
Yeah, he's certainly one of the highlights of watching March Madness for me.
Yeah, oh my God. The man-to-man defense, the onions, the defensive onions, the kiss. He said something one time about a touch foul that he was like, I've seen things worse in the subway, and I thought that was hilarious as someone who grew up there. But, yeah, he's so good, and he's so passionate, and I'm so happy for him that he's, even though I've never met him, and he finally has the opportunity to call the Final Four because I know how much he lives and dies basketball. And the last couple of years, to be able to listen to him, he's just so happy to be there. I think it just, as a listener, has made things really enjoyable for me.
Besides McComb, what is your favorite Missouri Valley venue to call a game and why?
The Fargo Dome in North Dakota State. It is just so cool. They draw incredible crowds. They turn the lights out. And the people just go crazy there. And it's awesome. Like, it's just such a really, really cool venue that rivals and probably surpasses a lot of FBS venues. And that's a credit to the fans. Also a credit to North Dakota State. They are grade A-plus professional in every single thing that they do. And they're kind of like the model, I think, for everybody in the conference. And so Fargo Dome is so awesome. I know they're building a new basketball arena, which I'm really excited to see. And honestly, the city of Fargo is really, really cool, too. There's a lot of great restaurants downtown, a lot of good bars as well. And it's just really neat just to kind of walk around, even though it can be cold there. So I think the Fargo Dome is my favorite place.
Nice. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would like to share or would want people to know?
No, I mean, I don't know. I just feel very, very fortunate to be where I'm at. Western Illinois is a great place. Hopefully we'll have a great football season this year. And, you know, basketball-wise, it's been great, too. They haven't been the most successful the last couple of years, but there have been ways they have improved the team significantly that I don't think has showed in the base of the results. And I think it's important to evaluate players and teams, and this goes, I mean, baseball's been doing this for a long time, and it's one of the things that's made the Cubs super successful. How you go about the process is more important than the results. And, you know, what I talked about earlier, getting to know these guys and getting to know their backgrounds and what they put into it, the processes behind that are almost more important than the results. And obviously you're rooting for the results, but you have a good process, most of the time you're going to have a good result. And I think it's, from what I've seen with Coach Fisher so far, he's got that. Billy Wright has that with Western Illinois basketball, and hopefully we'll see the results this year. And with baseball, the Cubs do so many things so well. So I just feel very, very fortunate to be able to see all those things, to learn much more, and to hopefully pass that on to our listeners about the games and, of course, the players. I love telling the stories, and so I think people like hearing about people. And so I think that hopefully I can continue to do this.
Great. Well, Scott, I really appreciate you taking the time today, and I look forward to meeting you in person at some point this football season when our paths cross on the road.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. I think we go down to Southern Illinois this year, so it should be a lot of fun. That's a really cool venue too, great football history. So looking forward to meeting you, and thank you so much for having me on.
Tune in next week for another episode of Valley Football's First and Goal with Kelly Burke, the official podcast of the Missouri Valley Football Conference, only on the lineupmedia.fm network. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.